right. Good evening, everyone. We'll turn to Exodus chapter 17 tonight. Exodus chapter 17. And if you would, please be in prayer for Pastor. Got the text today at about 2:30 that he was feeling quite unwell. So just pray for him. He's obviously just come back from TNS and on the back of conference as well. So it's been quite a wearying time for him. So please pray for him. I was actually hoping Lisa would give the message tonight, because he texted me and Pastor Phil and Lisa and said, could someone take tonight? And I was hoping she'd put her hand up, but she didn't. So you got me instead. But Exodus chapter 17, and it's good to see you guys back from TNS. Heard some good reports about that, been praying for you. So praise the Lord that you made it all back safely. All right, Exodus chapter 17, we're going to have a look here, just a few verses starting from verse 8 in Exodus 17. The Bible reads this, says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So we come into this narrative where God is actually leading the Israelites through the land, essentially to get to the promised land. And here we see they come up against Amalek as an enemy. And if you'll notice, even just in those few verses that we just read, there's a few people mentioned in this narrative. There's obviously Joshua, who Moses asked to choose some men. There's the men that he chooses, so basically the Israelite army that's going to fight. There's Moses, who said, I'm going to go up on the mount. But then there's also Aaron, which is Moses' brother. He's going to be on the mount with him. And then Hur, we don't know a lot about Hur. We just know essentially that he's from the tribe of Judah. He was kind of alongside Aaron, had a little bit of authority there. And so those are the people that are mentioned in these few verses here. Each person kind of had a different role to fulfill. And I want you to think about that this evening. Each person had a different role to fulfill. Now, Joshua, he knew his role. How did he know it? Well, essentially it was given to him by Moses, and probably you could say it was essentially given to him by God. His role essentially was to lead the people, to lead the army to fight against Amalek. Moses, we know that he knew his role. His role was to uphold the rod of God on that mount, to help them to fight. He was upholding God's power, essentially. And I guess you could say that Moses' role was more a spiritual role, a spiritual leadership role, and upholding God's power by using that rod. But Moses, we all understand this, that he was still just a man. He was still fallible. He was still able to become weary. He's basically, despite the position he was placed in and the power he held in his hands, he was still just a man. He was just like you and I. And then we have Aaron and Hur. And they're on the mount there essentially because Moses said, I'm going to bring up Aaron and Hur with me. And I actually wonder if they knew what their role was in all that was going to take place. Like, we know that Moses said, hey, come up with me. And they actually did go up with him. But I wonder if they knew why they were there. I wonder if they understood their role in this. Aaron and Hur, again, they were just like Moses. They were just men. They were fallible men. But it just makes me think, I wonder if they knew why they were there. They could have seen their presence on the mountain, with Moses as pointless. Maybe they thought it was that they were there unnecessarily. Maybe they thought that they could have been used more in the actual physical fight down with Joshua and the army. They might have been thinking these things, I don't know, but this is just what I think when I read this story. Maybe they thought, hey, we're not being utilized here, we're just standing here. We're with Moses, yeah, that's great, but we're just standing here. What's our actual role in this? Or maybe they assumed that God's power would be sufficient through Moses and the rod, regardless of their presence. So there's all these things that perhaps they were thinking, maybe they weren't, but that's the things that I think when I read through these verses. But verse 11 actually shows us that Although God's man was in place where he was supposed to be, and God's power was accessible through that rod of God, that something physical was still required to have God's power shown. Have a look at verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand," obviously the hand holding the rod, "that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." So there was something physical still required to have God's power shown. Just the rod itself was not enough. So when he held his hand up with the rod, Israel started winning the fight. When he brought it back down, Amalek started winning the fight. And you think about Joshua and the army down on the battlefield. Surely they were focused, they were busy doing what was before them, they were doing what they were asked to do. But they would have actually felt the effects of Moses' hands being up and then being down. So you put yourself in their shoes, you're fighting against people, physically fighting. All of a sudden you're winning, and then all of a sudden you're not. And then all of a sudden you're winning again, and then you're not. So they would have felt the effects of Moses' hand going up and down. But also, that also means that when Amalek prevailed, Israel was losing people. Now, I don't know if you thought about that much, like you kind of just gloss over the verses a little bit, but when Amalek prevailed, that meant that they were slaughtering Israelites. That meant that, people from the Israelite company were losing their lives. And that meant also that families were now being affected. Tribes were being affected. Individuals were being affected. So this Moses having his hand up and his hand down is not just about did they win the war or not. It's about how they came through it as well. Who came through it? How many of them came through it? So families were being affected. The nation was actually being affected. So this actually means that even if Israel prevailed ultimately, they actually could have had a greater success by not losing as many in their army in the process. And I wonder how many times Moses put his hands up and down before Aaron and Hur, and even Moses himself, realized that some assistance was actually required. Because you look at it, verse 11, he basically says that he put his hand up, they prevailed, he put his hand down, they didn't. How many times did that happen before Aaron and Hur actually stepped in? We don't know. We can only guess. But I wonder if you've actually ever felt like or been like Moses. So put yourself in his shoes for an instance. You're focused on doing the Lord's work, whatever that is, whether you're teaching Sunday school, whether you're witnessing to people, you're leading your family, you have a ministry in the church, whatever you're doing, you're focused on doing the Lord's work and you're powering through it as best as you can, at best of your ability. Maybe you're even seeing the results of your labors. You're seeing some wins, you're seeing some losses, but you're seeing some results of your actual effort being put in. But you're not realizing that it could actually be more efficient with some assistance. Because you've got your head down, you just go, 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 you're just doing what you believe to be right, and it's a good thing, but you're not actually looking up and looking around and going, hey, I might actually need some help here. And look, we can all get stuck into that. I mean, I've definitely found myself in that situation. But maybe you've even falsely assumed that because God has chosen you for that particular task, whether you're the head of your family or the head of a ministry or you're just laboring for the Lord, that God's chosen you for that task, that you're the only one that can actually contribute to its success. I wonder if you've thought that. I wonder if that's crossed your mind as you're just getting busy doing what the Lord has for you to do. Maybe you haven't necessarily been like Moses, but maybe you've been like Aaron and Hur at times. You're happy to see the Lord work through someone near you, someone around you, maybe someone that's above you. You're happy to see the Lord work through them and in them, but not realizing that you can actually contribute to the overall success of God using that person. So if you put yourself in Aaron and Hur's situation and I say, have you ever felt like them? You might say, well, who are you talking about, this person above me? Well, we could be talking about a whole bunch of different people, but tonight I'm really talking about our pastor, your pastor. That I wonder if you felt like you've looked on and seen God working in him and through him, but not realizing that you can actually be an assistant to him. Maybe you've seen some victories come through his labors, but not really assessing, hey, how can I contribute to the success of what God's doing in him? And I know I've definitely felt that myself. I've thought that myself. And like Moses, God has placed our pastor in the position that he's in. It was God ordained. We all prayed about it and we felt that the Lord was in it and he's placed him here. So we can definitely say, hands down, God has placed our pastor here, just like Moses can say, I'm in the place where God has called me to be. And God has equipped him with wisdom. He's equipped him with discernment, with the Holy Spirit's power. However, he, like Moses, is still a man. He's still a man. He's still a man that through being used of God actually gets tired, actually gets weary. He gets sick, like right now. He's not here because he's unwell. He actually can get discouraged. He's a man. He feels all these different things. And sometimes we can actually look up from the battlefield, kind of like where Joshua and the army were, and make assumptions about his effectiveness. So we're getting busy doing our things, and it doesn't feel like things are going ahead, or, you know, it's on, it's off, it's up, it's down. And we can kind of be looking like, hey, is he pulling his weight? Is he doing what he's supposed to be doing? And we can make these assumptions. But other times we can actually see that God is using him. And we can see the effectiveness of his labor, of his ministry. But the downside of that is we can just be content with those particular victories. Oh, he preached a good sermon on Sunday and maybe someone got saved, or we just felt the Spirit of the Lord move. That's great. And then we won't think about him until the next Sunday. And we expect him to come and to give out and to have the Holy Spirit be used in him and through him. But we're not thinking about, is he able to sustain it even through the week? I wonder if he's like, you know, scrounging around through the week to have enough energy to get to Sunday to give out. And I know that you don't all see what he does during the week, and he's not just preparing messages. He's doing plenty of other things. But I wonder if we've really thought about the labor that he has and our part that we can play in helping with that. What we really need to see is that we can actually be a great support to him, which in turn has a great effect on the whole. So have a look in verse number 12. It explains at the start of the verse, it says that Moses' hands were heavy. Now, this is actually the key to Aaron and Hur understanding their value in being there. Now they see his hands heavy. They realize it's been going up and down. And they realize now it's like the cogs are ticking. Hang on a minute. We actually can be a bit of a help in this situation. So we don't know how long he was pushing through, going up and going down. But we know that Aaron and Hur realized that they could be a support to the man of God. How? Well, have a look. Verse number 12, it says, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. Now, let me ask you this. Did the stone help keep his hands up? Of course not. The stone didn't help keep his hands up. The stone was for him to sit on, but what it did help with was Moses' fatigue. He was obviously very weary by trying to hold the rod of God up to have the Lord work through it. So that affects his whole body, not just his hands, right? So Moses and Aaron and Hur actually saw, hang on a minute, there's a real need that we can meet here. We can actually help him physically. We can bring a stone. He can rest on it. And, you know, I don't think it was a stone like this high. I think it was probably a bigger one that he could kind of sit on and have his hands up. So what did they do? They just met a practical need for the man of God to be able to keep doing what God had asked him to do. That's a very simple thing, but it's a very effective thing. Think about it. If they didn't, they could have let him fall on the ground and then just tried to hold his hands up while he's lying on the ground. That's probably not very effective, right? But just think about it. This is just a practical need, genuine care that they thought of filling that need. So place ourselves in Aaron and Hur's situation. Our support to our pastor should be one where we are willing to help where we can and when we can. And you might say, well, I don't know when he needs help and I don't know what he needs help with. Ask. Ask him. Ask us. Ask the Lord. Ask his wife. Ask anyone. I mean, I'm sure someone can give you an answer of how can I be a blessing to our pastor? And look, I'm not down on you. I know there's many people here tonight that have done that, are doing that, will continue to do that. This is really just an encouragement for our church to just keep on being a support to our pastor. Sometimes it's even enough just to know there's people willing to help, even if you don't require their help just yet. So for pastor to know, okay, my church is supporting me, they're ready and willing to help me with practical needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, that's enough to help him just keep going through the week and to be efficient and ready for Sunday, for Wednesday, for the days through the week where he counsels with people, where he makes decisions for the school and all sorts of things. That is a huge help. And that extends to his family as well. So if you bless his family, you're actually blessing him, you're helping him. But have a look here. In verse number 12, it goes on to say, "And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." Now, this is just such a great picture. People choosing to support the man of God, which has an effect on the people of God, which helps achieve the plan of God. That's actually the progression there. So you think about it, Aaron and Hur were actually in a very powerful place, had a very powerful influence. They were able to help the plan of God take place as effectively as it could because of their presence and because of their proactiveness. Now, Aaron and Hur understood that God was working specifically through Moses, so they didn't actually assume to just take the rod of God themselves and try and hold it up themselves. They didn't try and circumvent the process. They knew that God had chosen Moses and that he was the one to hold it up. They also didn't just offer verbal comfort. Keep going, Moses, you can do it. You know, like it's good to give pastor some verbal encouragement, like that really helped me, you know, blah, blah, blah. But don't just stop there. Like that is a help to a degree, but don't just stop with verbal comfort or verbal appreciation. God had positioned Aaron and Hur near Moses as much as he had positioned Moses on that mount. They were there fulfilling their role that God had for them. Don't forget that God has weaved each of us into this body purposefully. Each one that's here tonight and each one that is part of this church, you've all been placed here by God for a reason. And I know I'm talking to a Wednesday night crowd, so you guys are like essentially the devoted ones, that, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I understand that you are already committed and all that kind of thing, but you're not here by accident, and you might already be playing a part, playing a role in what you're doing in this church, but one of those things that you're supposed to be doing is supporting the man of God, supporting him through prayer, supporting him physically, all those sorts of things. So that's everyone's responsibility. That's our church body's responsibility. So Aaron and Hur took Moses' hands and supported him to keep holding up the rod of God. And interestingly, there was no judgment about how Moses was holding the rod up or how he wasn't holding the rod up from Aaron and Hur. There was just a concern about helping him to do what God had called him to do. And really, in turn, Aaron and Hur were doing exactly what they were positioned for, which is being a support, being a help to the man of God. And have a look, the result, verse number 13. "And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." So they were successful in attributing the Lord's help in through the battle, through Joshua, to win that war. So again, supporting the man of God has an effect on the people of God, which helps achieve the plan of God. So what does that mean for us tonight? Well, it means if we look beyond ourselves and view the big picture of what God is doing and who is using, we'll actually end up fulfilling his will. We will fulfill his will for our lives. So I guess I'll ask again. I wonder if you've considered whether pastor is scraping through each Sunday, managing to hold up the rod, but then having it let down through the week and trying to maintain it or not. I wonder if we as church members would choose to support our pastor in prayer daily. And I don't just throw that, you know, just as something to say, but seriously consider praying for pastor and for his family daily, every single day. You might already be doing that. Great, keep doing it. If you're not, I encourage you to start doing it. How many more people, families, decisions, ministries, sermons could be affected by God's power if we did that? So we actually have a great opportunity not just to be like Joshua in the heat of the battle, physically laboring, but also like Aaron and Hur being a spiritual support to our pastor. So we all have opportunity to uphold our man of God in prayer so that the rod of God can be, like it says in verse number 12, be steady and achieve its results. So that's my encouragement to each of us tonight, myself included, just to continue to pray for the man of God that God has put in this place to help us. We have a responsibility in this. So really, as we go to prayer tonight, I hope that that would be in your mind as you just consider him, not just tonight. Obviously, he's sick and we want to pray for his health and all that sort of stuff. But just going forward, that we would acknowledge that God has put him in this place. God has put us in this place. We're fit together for the Lord to do his work in and through us. So let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for tonight. We thank you, Father, for helping us just to gather together to sing unto you. And Lord, I just pray that you would help each of us to remember that you have placed us here. Lord, you have built this body, Lord, for your glory and for your namesake. And that includes our pastor. We thank you for him, Father. We pray that you would please strengthen him. We pray that you would please guide him and direct him. Lord, we ask that you would heal him, that you would give him physical energy. We pray that you would give him good rest this evening, Lord, that he can be ready for whatever it is tomorrow that you have him to do, Lord. Father, I pray that you would protect his mind, Lord, from the evil one, from distractions and those things that would seek to derail him, Lord. We just pray for protection upon that. We pray, Lord, that you would help him to spend time in study, spend time in prayer, Lord, listening to your voice, hearing from you that he's able to give unto us, Lord God. Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for each one that is currently doing this, that is supporting our pastor through prayer and even just meeting practical needs, Lord God. Help us to be aware of this, Lord. Father, we thank you that you will answer our prayers. And Lord, we do ask these things and pray them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.